they do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. As it's been said multiple times already here today, I'm thankful that I can hold in my hand the truth. God, with all the deceit and the lies that are out in the world, Lord, it's good to know that something is pure, something is clean, and something is true. Lord, I pray that as we open it here this morning, that you would speak to our hearts through it. Lord, reprove us, rebuke us, exhort us through it all. God, that you would be honored and glorified with all that is said and done here. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes in junior church or Sunday school, we'll talk about this individual. Did I tell you 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 33 or 34? 33. Great. That'll work too. And 2 Chronicles 34, we talk about a king. His name is Josiah. We often go to Josiah because it is so unique in his circumstance. He takes the throne at age 8. Age 8. Imagine being a king of a kingdom. Well, that's how Josiah finds himself, circumstances, and we'll talk about that. So what makes Josiah so remarkable as a king? Was it his young age? Maybe it was his kingly heritage. Now go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. You should be pretty close if you were at chapter 34. His grandfather was a king named Manasseh. And Manasseh, 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 1. And Manasseh was, now look here, 12 years old. Imagine, again, a 12-year-old having the run of the kingdom. Say, what could go wrong? I don't know. I've seen sandboxes where a 8 or 12-year-old had run, and it did not go well. I can't imagine a kingdom. But Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and the Bible says this, he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. What a long time. He made it through the learning curve. He made it through the difficult times. But the Bible says this about this king, King Manasseh. It says, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Not all leaders choose to do right. We were told about sin this morning. And sin, yes, some of it is inherited. But I'm telling you, the sin that's in your life that we deal with most of our consequences is a choice. And each king, each leader, each father, each mother, each young person will have to make a choice, much like King Manasseh. Am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? No one makes us do right. No one makes us do wrong. Here, the king decides to do evil. Like under the abominations, look at now. Look at what he's categorized as. It says like he's almost have never known the Lord at all. Like under the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. There were people in the land at one time that served not God, that knew not God, could care less about his commandments, could care less about his ways. And God says, I got rid of those people so I could put my people in that place. And King Manasseh shows up on the scene at 12 years of age and makes the decision, I'm not going to seek after the things of God. I don't care about the things of God. I don't care about the commandments of God. I want to do what's right in my eyes. I want to do that which is evil. What a sad thing. He did evil. He reigned at 12 years of age, reigned for 55 years. But something changes in Manasseh's life. Look at verse 11. He is humbled. Oh, it's a good thing when our life gets humbled. And this is what it says, 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. King Manasseh gets taken captive. And when he was in affliction, it says, he besought the Lord his God. It's amazing what God has to do sometimes in our life to get our attention. He gets Manasseh's attention. As we continue the passage, look at what it says. And the Bible says this, for maybe the first time in his life, he makes a good decision. Funny that he's in bondage. Funny that he's in prison. Funny that he's wrapped up in fetters. Those are shackles that bind your feet to the ground. The Bible uses among the thorns. But the Bible says this, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Man, God got a hold of him. God reminded him that he's in charge. And Manasseh said, I have made a terrible error with my life. Hey, can I let you know that it is never too late to get right with God? It is always right to humble your heart before the Lord. And Manasseh, at an older age, although he had lived a wicked way, he does some bad things in his life. He makes some bad choices. He deals with the consequences of those. At one point in his life, he humbled himself greatly. And thankfully, God is not like you and I. God did not treat him like another man. Hey, you did me wrong for so long, there ain't no way I'm helping you in any way. See, that's how man acts. But God heard that humbled prayer and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication. The Bible says in verse 13, and brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew, look at, that the Lord, he was God. Manasseh gets what we would call a second chance. What does he do? Does he go back and run? Because that's what happens sometimes. Man, you're in a bad trouble. You make promises to God. God delivers you out of those promises. And then we forget that and go right back to what we were doing. But that's not what Manasseh did. Manasseh, the grandfather of King Josiah, goes back and he breaks down these altars. Look at verse 15. False altars. And 2 Chronicles 33:15, and he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord. How did those idols get there? By his own hand. He put that stuff there. And all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord. Hey, this is where God should have been worshipped. But instead he brought an idol in. He built altars to false gods. He worshipped Balaam. He had awful things going on that were contrary to God's law. And he did it himself. And the Bible says that he was humbled. And he had a second chance. And he went back home a different person. For he had met with the Lord and he broke down those things in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Man, what a great turn of events. Man, maybe you've lived a lifestyle, and I know we're talking about Josiah here today, but man, maybe you've lived a lifestyle that is just contrary to the Word of God, and you think, I'm a lost cause. Hey, get right with God, humble yourself, turn to Him, and get rid of that stuff. And that's what Manasseh did. Manasseh has a son. See, Manasseh's son Amon had an opportunity to see both sides of Dad. Got to see the wicked idols, and then he got to see, well, he got to see reformed Dad. Dad, after humbling himself greatly before God and what changed in the kingdom. And it's remarkable to me. Amon, verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 33. Amon was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned just 2 years in Jerusalem. Manasseh reigns 55. At the end of Manasseh's reign, he turns everything back over to God. Amon takes over at 22 and looks at this and goes, again, we each have a decision. Hey, young person, you can't blame your decisions on your parents. Eventually, you're going to have to choose to serve God. And Amon looks at this thing and goes, well, I saw what it was like before, and I see what it's like now. You know what? I think I'm going to go back to the old ways. And the Bible says in verse 22, this is Josiah's father, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father before he humbled himself. And Amon sacrificed unto the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. See, also understand this, your choices also have consequences, not just to you, but it's an influence on others. No, I'm an island. No one's bothered by this. It doesn't affect anybody else. Oh, it most certainly does. And the Bible says, look at verse 23, where Manasseh did right towards the end of his life, Amon did not. Say, towards the end of his life, he's only reigning 2 years. Yeah, the people don't like it so much. And the Bible says, and humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh, his father, had humbled himself, but Ammon trespassed more and more. He was getting more and more wicked. And maybe there were people coming and saying, no, this isn't right. This isn't what you should be doing. You shouldn't be going this way. And he kicks them out of the kingdom and he says, get out of here. I don't want to listen to you. I want to do what I want to do. I'm in charge. And more and more, time and time again, people are requesting to him, please stop doing this. This isn't right. This isn't how we ought to be. And the Bible says in verse 24, and his servants conspired against him. Why? Because they saw the blessings of Manasseh and they saw what Ammon is doing. And the Bible says, and slew him in his own house. Say, are you advocating murder? Absolutely not. But the servants look at what Ammon was doing and said, this isn't right. We're getting rid of this guy. This was his own servants. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. I can't believe that this would be the mentality here. Here we have a king. He's 22 years of age. What's the alternative? This 8-year-old boy. We'll take the 8-year-old boy. That's what they said. That's what's going on here. The conspirators, they die. King Ammon is dead. All of a sudden, Josiah, 8-year-old boy, asking for ice cream for breakfast, is sitting there on top of the throne. Left foot on the right foot, right? Sandals don't match. I mean, this is 8 years old. And he's running the kingdom. Say, I see why he's so popular. He was so young. I mean, what do we know about Methuselah? Three numbers, 969. I mean, that he was 969 years. He lived very old. What do we know about King Josiah? He was 8 years old when he began to reign. What made this young man so impressive was not his kingly heritage. This is a grandson to a king, a son of a king. Think about your family heritage. Where'd you come from? This guy came from royalty. And at 8, he finds himself sitting on the throne. Was his youth? Yeah, sure, that was impressive. But what he did with his years, this is what makes him so special. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we're going to focus now on the remainder of the message on Josiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 3. And in the 8th year of his reign, so that makes him, so he was 8 when he started, now in his 8th year. 8 years he learned some things. And at age 16, he starts making some decisions for himself. He starts looking around and saying, you know, these things around me aren't right. And instead of sitting back and getting caught up in the stream of things that are not right, he took action. Hey, young person, that's a great example to you. That the world or the system that you may be caught up in is going this way. Can I encourage you to go against the flow there and be like King Josiah? And in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, the Bible says he began to seek after the God of David, his father. No reference to Manasseh. No reference to Ammon. No. We go straight to the greatest king that we have reference of in outside of maybe Solomon, David. He says, I want the God of David. Smart young man. At 20 years of age, he begins to break down and destroys the false altars and the idols and the gods. Look at 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 4. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high, them, and he cut down and the groves. So what are the groves? The groves are like little mini forests that they would go and worship in. He says, all this stuff has got to go. At 26, he begins to repair the house of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 8. And in the 18th year of his reign. So 18 plus 8, so that makes him 26. At 26, when he had purged the land. Hey, that's a lot of stuff in the land. That took a long time to do. That's 10 years. That's 6 years. That's a lot of stuff. That means there was a lot going on that shouldn't have been going on. The Bible says that when Now that we got rid of all that stuff, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent for Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Hey, I want to encourage you. There's some things, if there's some things in your life that need to go so you can now worship. So you got to get rid of some things before you can worship. And that's what Josiah saw. As the temple was being repaired, they found something special. They found the book of the law. What will change everything. Josiah then hears the words of the Lord. And as we read through, I want to draw our attention in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 to one word. It's a small word, but the word all. Josiah, what makes Josiah so special is that he does things completely. Some of you have children that do tasks only halfway. Oh, that's frustrating. Hey, I would like you to fold this load of laundry. And you come back, and there's a stack of folded laundry, but all the unmatched socks are in the basket. Anybody familiar with this? All right. That was not all. And God wants us to follow him completely. And you know what Josiah does? He does just that. This is a young man that went all in on the things of the Lord, 100% committed to him. There was no, hey, Monday this way, Tuesday that way, when I'm before the priest, I live this way. No, he was all in. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 7. Point number one, he was all in when he cleansed all the places. Look at this. It says this in verse 7. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and beaten the graven images, look at this, into powders. He didn't take them to Goodwill and just got rid of them. He took the stuff that ought not to have been and not just broke it. He smashed it into powder. And cut down, look at, all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. Hey, if this is a lesson, if this isn't a lesson for us, I don't know what is. Hey, if there's things in your life, if there's sin in your life that needs cleansing, every area of your life ought to be addressed. If there's things that don't belong, yeah, here, I'll deal with these things over here, but I kind of like these idols over here. These ones are pretty. These ones are important. These ones have sentimental value. I know they're not scriptural, but that's just who I am. No, see, Josiah was unique in this, that he got rid of everything, everywhere. Cleansed all places. What do we have? We don't just have house cleaning. We have country cleaning. The whole place got cleaned out. Look at Psalm 51. Keep your hand in 2 Chronicles 34. Psalm 51. Say, oh, I know what Psalm 51 is about. King David sins. We all sin. This is a great example for us of how to make right after our sin. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, then we go over to Psalm 51, and David says this. He says, the prophet comes in and says, David, you've sinned, you're that man. And this is the account of his prayer as Nathan the prophet came to him. And he says, have mercy upon me. He doesn't blame anybody. No, if we're going to really clean house, hey, Josiah, what do you want to do with these idols? Well, I didn't build them. Leave them alone. I don't care. Hey, what are you going to do with this sin in your life? I didn't put it there. It wasn't my fault. I'm a victim of my circumstances. Culture has done this. I am the way I am because this is... No, what it said... Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. He takes ownership of his sin. What does Josiah do? He goes throughout all the land, gets rid of all the idols. Why? Because they don't belong. Well, marginal sin. No, no sin is acceptable in the eyes of God. He can't bless it. Verse 2 says this, wash me throughly from mine iniquity. Know what that means? Everywhere. In and cleanse me from my sin. When our children were younger and they would go outside and play, hey, you got dirt all over your hands and face, go wash. Okay. And they come back and you're like, did you wash? Yeah, look, I mean, they still have soap caked up on this hand, but this part here is still all black and brown. And sometimes we do that for the Lord. We do that to God. Say, God says, hey, I need you to get right. There's a lot of things in your life that don't belong. And we wash this part, but we don't touch this. See, what made King David, what made Josiah so special? They cleansed every area of their life. It says this, and cleanse me from my sin. Not mistakes. We're not talking, hey, sin is not a mistake. 2 + 2 = 5. No, that's a mistake. Sin is actively choosing to go against the commandments of God. There's a big difference. And we choose to do each sin that we ever commit. The Bible says this. Look at Psalm 51 and verse 3. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Oh, if we would just get right with God. Oh, if we would just come down to an old-fashioned altar, kneel in our heart and say, God, I am humbled. I am sorry for my sin. My sin is ever before me. I fight it regularly. It's no good. It's got to go. You have, forgive me of it all. But often we go, well, I got caught in this one. So I'll ask about this. I'll talk about this. But I know I got this over here. See, that's what Josiah did. He went throughout all the land and cleansed everything. What a great example to us that no sin should be allowed in our kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from most of our filthiness. No, that's not what it says. From some of our filthiness. No, it says from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Why? Because perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we desire to be holy and right before God, it cannot be contaminated. It cannot be dirty. The kids ask, Dad, I'm so thirsty. I've drank all of my water. Can I have some of your water? I'm not good at sharing. I mean, confession's good for the soul, I guess. I really don't make any intention. I'll try and change. I'm not good at sharing. Sure, go ahead. And I take the glass back and I see things in the water, right? It's like, oh, contaminated. Most of it's pure. Most of it's clean. Yeah, I just don't want that. God, most of me's clean. Most of me's right. Most of me is holy. No, that's not what he says. He says, I want you to go through the whole land and I want you to get rid of every idol. And Josiah cleansed all the places. He left no stone unturned. What sins are you living with? What sin are you living with in your kingdom that is holding you back from saying, all of it is gone? Josiah cleansed all places. Go back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. I'm going to read a few verses. In verse 27, so understand what has happened. They found the book of the law. They found the law of God, and they read it. And the Bible says in verse 27, 2 Chronicles 34, 27, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, sounds like his grandfather, when thou heardest his words against this place, and because the inhabitants thereof, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. Can we just get a hold of that for a second? They got the word of God, and he completely humbled himself before God. And God says, because you did that, I now hear you. I just wonder, what demands are we making for God that he just isn't even hearing us because we haven't done what he's already told us to do? Verse 28, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. He says, hey, because you humbled yourself, I'm going to hold off some judgment that I had kind of slated for this place. Could you imagine changing the mind of God? So how do I do that? By humbling yourself before him. Look, let's read verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the small and read in their ears, look at now, all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. What made King Josiah so special? 8 years of age, his kingly heritage? No, just that he was totally committed to the things of God. He was all in. Point number one, he cleansed all the places. Number two, he kept all that was written. He made, the Bible says, a covenant before God. What is a covenant? That's a vow. That's a promise. I promise you, God, that I am going to do everything I can within my heart, within my soul, to adhere to these words. Why? Because they had departed from the word of God. They've left it. Look at keeping your hand in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Look at verse 2. What was wrong with Israel at this time? They had forsaken the law of God. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 2 says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. God says, do not turn away from this. Look at verse 6. Forsake her not. Now he's talking about her. Say, who's this her? It's wisdom. In verse 5, it says, get wisdom. He says, do not forsake wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Hey, we ought to love the word of God. We ought not to forsake the word of God. We ought not to turn from the word of God. The worst thing you could do is forsake the word and the wisdom of God. Say, I don't have any of that. The Bible says in James chapter 1, if we lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it to you liberally. I believe God honored Josiah. Why? Because he was trying to do that which was right. He blessed him. Because he made a commitment. He says, I'm going to keep all that is written in here. They departed from the word. Where did they find the word of God? It's funny, right where they left it. Where'd God go? Right where you left him. You know, when you lose something, maybe the worst thing to lose are your glasses because you need them to see. It's tough to find something that you can't see. But it's always right where I left them. Hey, when you departed from the faith, when you forsook the word of God, say, how do I get back to it? Just go right back to where you were. It'll be there. Where did they find the law? Right where it had been left. The word of God should take first place in our hearts and in our life. Not only did he keep all of the commandments, I love his approach to the word of God. Look at verse 2 Chronicles 31 and 2 Chronicles 34, 31. It says he's going to walk after them, not just on the weekends. The Bible says with all his heart. With all his heart. Psalm 119 in verse 2. Psalm 119:2. We know the book of Psalms in chapter 119 is all about the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Look at verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments." You see what happens when we're committed with all our heart? There's a lack of wandering. What happened to the nation of Israel? They wandered. Josiah got back and said, "I want my heart with yours." Look at verse 34. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart." There's a connection between the word of God and our heart. And Josiah got a hold of that. He didn't poll everybody. "Hey, I would like to take a poll here. What does everyone think according to the word of God?" It didn't matter what anybody thought. It matters what God thinks. It made no difference what any advisor said. He said, "Here's what God says, and with all my heart, with all my soul, I'm going to follow this thing." Hey, in your life, can I encourage you to open the Word of God and just seek it wholeheartedly? God, what you say, I'm going to do. It's going to take faith. Oh, I promise you, you'll be the better for it. The Bible says that everyone followed after. They all did it. They all did what King Josiah did. Why? Because they knew that which was right. We understand this in the book of Nehemiah. Hey, when Nehemiah stands up and he just says, I don't care what anybody else does, I'm going to do right. A whole nation rallies behind him. You don't understand the power of following after the truth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 33, it says this. "And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries and that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in the Lord to serve, even to serve the Lord their God." And the Bible says, "And all his days they departed." And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. What a testimony. Not only did he cleanse all places, not only did he make a covenant to do everything that it says, not only did he say he was going to do it with all his heart, but he says, "I'm going to do it for every day I have." He took what he had and he put it into action. We call that faithfulness. Say, "Well, if I was a king, sure, I would do that." Hey, how are you at faithfulness in your own little kingdom, in your own world? The Bible reminds us in Luke chapter 16, "He that is faithful with little will be faithful with much." How you handle little things will be how you handle big things. That's why when our kids get birthday money, you know what we teach them? We teach them tithing. We try and teach them not to waste their money when they have $10, so when they have $1,000, they don't waste their money. We try and teach them in the, again, in the sandbox to be kind, because one day they're going to be in the workforce and we want them to be kind. We try and teach them when, even though they didn't get what they wanted for dinner, to be thankful and have joy. So one day, when life doesn't go according to plan, we can still be thankful and have joy. Because how we handle little things will be how we handle big things. And too often, we are waiting for our kingdom to fall into our lap. "And then I will seek the Lord." Hey, do it right now. Be faithful all your days. Adhere to the Word of God completely, wholeheartedly, all your days. There could be no better advice for you today. Put it into action. Be faithful. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And then we're done. Say, really? Yeah, really. Last verse. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. When I was reading that in 2 Chronicles 34, man, I could not but think of this verse. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Can you keep this all your days? No matter what the world brings by your way. Could you imagine the pull on an 8-year-old? "Hey, come follow this way." A 16-year-old? "Hey, come follow this way." You know, we blame young athletes for, well, they just didn't know how to handle all that money, and, you know, they were set up for failure, and, you know, the 20-year-old kid, and you put $10 million in his pocket, and of course he's going to do wrong. No, he chose to do wrong. He's not a victim of a circumstance. He chose it, just like we have to choose to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, every single day, all of our days. So we're kind of like King Josiah. Are we going to make that commitment? Is there areas of our life that need cleansing? All areas. Have we made a covenant? God, whatever your word says, that's what I'm going to do. Say, well, I've kind of departed from the faith a little bit. All right, let's go back to it. Say, what will God think? God will be pleased. I promise you that. Keep it with all your heart. That's what Psalm 119 told us, and then all of our days. Say, when does it expire? It doesn't. What made King Josiah so special? His age? His heritage? No. The fact that he was all in. He didn't quit. Let's all stand. Maybe the Lord touched your heart in one of these areas. Maybe there's an area of your life that needs some examination. Again, what did we go through? We went through country cleansing. Maybe we need to look at heart cleansing this morning. Maybe there's something going on inside your heart. What made David so special? He just came to the Lord and said, God, I've sinned. It's my fault. I did it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 said, all the filthiness of my life. Maybe you've forsaken the word of God. It used to be so much more important in my life, and now it just isn't. Hey, can you humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I want to get back to this thing. I want to start studying this thing again. I want to read it daily. God, I remember when you used to speak to me through it. Do you understand that King Josiah, they read the law. Say, oh, I can't stand. The law is boring. Hey, when the word of God was reached to the heart of King Josiah, it changed him. You're no different. Are you all in? And then how about for all your days? Yeah, I used to serve him a lot more than I do now. Why don't you put it back into action? Why don't you be faithful to what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation, whatever the Lord maybe spoke to your heart about today. God, I need to get back to this book. There's things in my life that ought not to be there. I've left way too long. Heavenly Father, I ask you bless this time of invitation. As we have examined the life of Josiah, I pray that, God, we would identify with this, that we too would see the blessings in adjusting our life to yours, your commandments, your thoughts, your ways. God, forgive us from wandering. Forgive us for leaving sin in our heart and in our life. God, help us all our days to stay faithful. Bless this time of invitation now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message?